Hour number three here on the Morning Tailgate. It is a Friday. We are that much closer to week four of the NFL season, and a week the Raiders are hoping is a story of redemption. And you know, Clay Vinny, it has been a tough week. It's been an uphill battle through the mud, in the snow, an absolute battle to get to Friday. But here we are, and you know, I can't think of a guy that can help us with the power of positivity to get us mentally right than Super Bowl champion, Fusion Odyssey creator, Chris Thomas, joining the Morning Tailgate. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, man. How are you?
Much better now that you have reached my audio and my ears. All right, talk to me. Where are we at? What a difference a week makes, Chris, because a week ago we are trying to ride high, keep that momentum high, and now we are on the back burner trying to get things right again. What is the conversation at this point of the week? I know you've been in the rooms, highs and lows, but coming off a low like this, we're at the point in the week where, you know, that is clear in the rearview mirror. What is the conversation going in, you know, behind closed doors as you get set for a home game and a little bit of redemption here in week four?
You know, who are we going to be, right? I think is the question that you have to ask. Like, who is it that we're going to be, and how are we going to be that team? Because that what just happened last week was a major setback. I mean, that should have never happened. They really could not have played any worse defensively. They couldn't get a stop in the run game. They couldn't stop him in the passing game. Deontay Johnson looked like a Pro Bowl wide receiver. It was ridiculous. You know, they still can't run the ball, though I appreciate Getsy really trying to commit to the run to give them a chance. But, nothing that they attempted to do really worked. Fourth down conversions are still awful. They're 0-for-4 on fourth down conversions, giving Carolina all those third down conversions for a team that was 2-for-22 coming into this game.
Wow.
Third down conversions. And then, you know, they're 4-for-8 in the part of the game that matters. I mean, you could just go on and on. You know, they hadn't given up or they hadn't scored a fourth quarter touchdown all year, and then they score one against the Raiders. They haven't had a fourth quarter lead for 20 games, and then they get one against the Raiders. All these firsts for Carolina. And so, you know, what's a real gut check right now? I mean, it's disappointing when you have to have a gut check this early in the season. But it's an absolute gut check because that game was completely unacceptable all the way around. And you know, in watching it, I don't think, you know, Gardner Minshew played poorly. I don't know why there was necessarily talk about maybe a quarterback switch. But, you know, as I watched it, there were three, you know, at least three contested balls that could arguably be drops or just good defensive plays out of his incompletions. I thought that he gave, you know, the guys a chance to make plays. And honestly, they just weren't getting open as frequently as they should have because there were times he was trying to keep the play alive and just was getting nobody open. So he had to scramble and throw it away. But they got a lot of problems right now. And so it's accountability. Like missing too many tackles or not being physical at the point of contact. Still giving up, you know, way too much in the running game. Can't give up over 100 yards every time you're facing an opponent. So it's a matter of accountability and who are we going to be from this point on? Because right now our season's starting over, right? And if we screw up this next, you know, 3-4 games, then our season's probably over, right? So that's everyone knows it. They have a lot of veteran leadership in that locker room. So it's time to really figure out who they're going to be and figure out, you know, where the biggest holes are. And they got to close them because their season's about to get away from them.
Chris, obviously Antonio Pierce had a lot to say after that loss, and you know, was emphatic about getting it right and being coaching guys hard. How does that manifest itself after a tough loss like this? And the coach is angry. We all get it. We all understand it. What does that sound like and look like in real terms? You know, come Wednesday when it's time to get back to work. I mean, do you have any stories actually of coaches that, coming off a loss like that, just went off? Or are they more, you know, kind of understanding of the situation and saying, hey, it does us no good to carry this all the way to Wednesday and coach crazily out of it? You know, let's just try to figure out what the problem was and fix it.
Well, I can tell you exactly what he said. If you guys have the bleep machine, No, I would say that probably coming from a former player that, yeah, it's a lot more heated. I've been on teams, again, that I was on the Redskin team or the Commander team that was 0-7 to start the season, and we did turn it around, and we turned it around massively. But nonetheless, I mean, but that was a different coach and a different coaching style, so that wasn't really his style to kind of lose his mind on the team. I think, you know, Antonio, having been there, I think he probably approaches it a little more intensively, as I would, right? Because, again, that's unacceptable. I mean, we just lost to the worst team in football, and we got beaten, you know, absolutely beaten down into the ground. It wasn't like it was a close game. We got absolutely beaten, and the game was over by the time we were even scoring touchdowns. So, you know, it's a pretty heated conversation, and I think it does warrant kind of addressing what happened. I don't think you move on from it and just imagine, you know, just act like, hey, it is what it is. We got to move on from it. Yeah, you do, but there's an indictment that needs to happen. You know, you can't play that poorly and not be held accountable. I mean, that was terrible. But then once you do that, it's like it's all about the fix, right? Like we're upset. We didn't play well. Could not have played any worse. What is our fix? If you can't figure out where the fix is, and this is where the accountability comes in, you can't figure out what the fix is, and then the guys who are in the position to make plays being held accountable, then, like, this is going to happen again, right? So they got to fix it. They're not fixing it, right? Their run game is still apathetic. You know, they still can't, you know, stop the run on the other side. It's like at some point, you know, something's got to change. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's got to change. The worst part about this week was their pass defense was awful, you know, absolutely awful. So they got to figure it out, and they got to hold guys accountable. And if you need to make personnel changes, then you make them, because this can't continue. Their season's going to be over.
It's Chris Thomas, former Super Bowl champion wide receiver. He's also a performance development mentor as well as a life coach with Fusion Odyssey. Find Fusion Odyssey on social media. DM Chris and get the link to Unlocking the Mental Game. If you have a student athlete, he works with pros, amateurs, and students all the time. Fusion Odyssey. And Chris, when you think about what the Browns have, and they are very strong up front defensively. And you got guys from Coromora, Za'Darius Smith, Shelby Harris, Dalvin Tomlinson, of course, yes, Myles Garrett. What's the game plan to go and try to negate that pass rush?
Well, you know, I think, again, you got to establish the run. If you can't establish the run, then these guys are just coming out of the blocks like they're sprinters, you know, off the edge. So you got to be able to establish the run. If you can't establish the run, then, you know, you become this team that you guys just saw, you know, last Sunday. And although they can execute, the truth of the matter is you cannot be one-dimensional in this league.
No.
They're seventh in passing, right, in pass ranking, but they're, you know, last in the NFL in rushing, which makes them 23rd overall in offense. Like, that's what your offense looks like when you're one-dimensional, right? Like, so you're not going to win many games when you rank 23rd in offense, right? And then your defense is giving up those kind of plays and that many points, and they can't stop the run. So, you know, they have to establish the run or else this is going to be a really tough game for them. And, you know, the Browns are in the same position. They're 1-2. They're going to be hungry. Deshaun Watson is not at all Deshaun Watson, you know, before all the stuff that he's gone through. So, you know, he's licking his wounds. He hasn't played particularly well. I think there's a chance there for the defense to really take control of the game and, you know, rattle Deshaun and really get him disrupted to the point where he can't execute like he's not executed the first, you know, couple weeks or 3 weeks. They can do that, then I think that they give themselves a chance. But they have so many holes right now in their game that, you know, they really have to address it. I'd love to be in there. I'd love to be the mental guy helping the team and helping some of these guys and expressing, like, what they should be thinking about as they're out there on the field and the role that they're playing and how they play it, right? Like, you gotta play the game mentally before you play it physically. They're having too many guys, I think, that aren't playing a smart IQ game out there, and it's exposing them, you know, and it's got to change. Again, this is a perfect game because they're both 1-2. No one wants to be 1-3. So this team's as hurt as they are. They need to figure out a way to get it done and execute. And if they can't, they're going to be 1-3 after Sunday.
Super Bowl champion Chris Thomas joining the Morning Tailgate on Raider Nation Radio. Chris, you know, it's funny. We heard last week Thursday was the best practice the Raiders had all season. It was the best practice, Antonio Pierce said. And then they go out and have the game that they do on Sunday. Antonio Pierce told us that the week prior, leading up to the Ravens game, they had the worst practice that they had all season, and then they go out and do what they did in the fourth quarter in Baltimore. As a player, we've been asking the question, what kind of team do we expect to see show up on Sunday at Allegiant Stadium when the ball kicks off against the Cleveland Browns? I'm curious, in your playing history, did you truly know what team was going to show up based on a week of practice? Or did you have to wait to see what the guys looked like, their faces, their body language when you got to the stadium?
I think sometimes, obviously, when you have a poor week of practice, maybe not just one practice, but a poor week of practice, sometimes that gives you a look into what, you know, Sunday's game might look like. But I would tell you that it's not always an indication as to what the game's going to be like on Sunday. I mean, I can only speak sort of for myself as a former NFL player, but, you know, whether I had a good practice or a bad practice, I think my intention was to always go out there and practice as I play, right, in the game. That's always my intention. Now, not everyone does that in the NFL. Let's be honest about that. You know, some guys are just kind of getting through practice and attempting to save it for Sunday. But that being said, on Sunday, everything becomes personal, right? Like, it needs to be personal. I don't want to turn on the film and see that I didn't win my matchup, right? I want to turn on the film and see that I dominated the person across from me and I left a mark. And I left an impression, and that person doesn't want to see me again, right? Like, that's personal to me. And it should be personal to every single guy that's out there on the field. Because at the end of the day, I'm not even thinking about winning as a whole. I'm thinking about dominating my opponent and winning my matchup, right? And if everyone takes that approach, then I expect us to win, right? But I can't speak for the other 10 guys on my side of the ball. You know, I can't speak for the other 21 guys, you know, that are playing out there in the field. Like, but I can tell you right now, it was personal to me, always. And I refused to, like, turn on the film on Monday and see that I wasn't part of the reason that we had a chance to be successful. So, to me, that's very easy. You shouldn't be playing in the NFL if it's not personal to you to win your matchup. And not just win, to dominate. Like, I want to dominate. I take it personal. And I want everyone else to see that I'm the reason that we win, not the reason that we lose, right? And so, again, I don't know. I can't speak for everyone else, but if that was the attitude, you're going to find your way to victories, you know, way more often than you'll find your way to losses.
Chris, you know, that said, there are teams that have track records of responding to these types of moments. You go back to, you know, Steph Curry and the Warriors. If they lost a game, some random game, and got blown out, you almost pitied their next opponent, right? You felt like that team was going to pay for the sins of what happened in the last game. The Kansas City Chiefs, you know, the old New England Patriots, there was a track record of a response. Do we even know enough about this Raiders team to have any expectation of what their true response is going to be on Sunday?
We don't, you know, because they haven't shown exactly who they are yet, right? So you don't know. I mean, again, who could have ever forecasted that the Panther game was going to turn out like that, right? So it's like, here they were coming off this really, you know, solid win against the Ravens, where it wasn't a perfect game, but they had perfect moments throughout the game and great quarters throughout the game on both sides of the ball. And so you expect that momentum to carry over, and then it doesn't at all. So it makes you wonder, like, well, now I don't know who you are. And I don't know who's going to show up, and I don't know why you'd show up. Like, why this game but not last game, right? And that's what, you know, that's the foundation and the blueprint for a losing team right there. Right? Like, we got to know who you are. There has to be a level of consistency. You know what I mean? Otherwise, you can't be Mr. T saying, I pity the fool. You know what I mean? You can't be him, because, you know, you haven't created that, you know, I guess that personality. You haven't created, you know, that identification or identity for your team that, like, we're a team that won't come out and look that way ever again. Like, our coach won't let us, our coaches won't let us, our leaders won't let us, I won't let myself. So you're right, VB. I have no idea. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how they do come back from this, but they haven't given us any indication necessarily who they are across the board. They're too inconsistent, and you can't be great being inconsistent.
We may have to have you clear your schedule and come out to Las Vegas and talk, because I would love to have you come inside in the Raiders locker room, inside the inner sanctum, and give that message. And for those of you who want to get in touch with Chris, 805-663-8483 with Fusion Odyssey. Chris Thomas, it's a pleasure having you on Fridays. Thank you so much for your time.
Appreciate you, my friends.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Chris Thomas here with us on Raider Nation Radio. Yeah, it kind of like blows up some myths, you know, and also saying that practice is just not a necessary indicator of what will happen on game day.
Yeah, I mean, we obviously saw that in the last two weeks, but I was curious like what a former player would have to say when you hear that from a coach, and that's incredible perspective. I mean, he looked at Sundays as, you know, you're getting better, or during the week you're getting better as a team, you're trying to be your best self, get ready for Sunday, whatever that looked like. It was different to a lot of people, but Sunday, it was a personal thing. Like, obviously, he wanted the team to win, but we hear players in all sports say, control what you can control, right? Do your job. Just do your job. And I think Chris articulated that beautifully in terms of saying, I took it personal.
Time to take it personal.
You know, not just to win, but to go out and dominate.
And I'm not going to be the reason why we lose.
Right. And if you have more of those guys than not on a per-play basis, the odds of winning probably shoot through the roof, right? I mean, that's just simple.
That's a buy-in logic. Right
you
there.
You have to. That's the key point, Vince, because this isn't a sport where somebody like a Michael Jordan can just say, yeah, that's not going to happen again, and I'm going to make sure it doesn't happen again. You know, we've talked about Davante Adams can win every single battle that he is up against on Sunday if he plays, right?
Mm-hmm.
And run fabulous routes.
Usually does.
And do everything that he needs to do. But what will it matter if the offensive line struggles or the quarterback struggles, right? And so Davante Adams can sit here and say, I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure I'm not the reason that we lose. And it may be all for naught if, to your point, six others don't take the game that seriously or don't. It might not even be a case of taking it seriously or aren't capable or just don't execute.
Yeah, just don't do it. I mean, you could have 10 players.
Yeah.
Win their battle, but if one doesn't, that could be the reason. Sometimes you chop it up to the other team,
yeah.
You tip your cap, you move on to the next one. But again, there's been a common theme here, boys, that we've heard all week. Lincoln Kennedy said it earlier, it's a mentality. Mm-hmm. Chris Thomas just said you got to take it personal. Eric Allen on our Monday morning cornerback told us earlier, you have to want it. I mean, these are former players, played at the highest level, saying all the same thing this week. And while I don't expect the Raiders to listen all 3 hours, Monday through Friday here in the morning, but I digress. I mean, there are some clear messages that are being said from former players. You would hope that is infiltrating inside the Raiders facility as they look to have a weekend of redemption.
Right, and if they do get that kind of effort, they're going to be competitive in this game. I'm not sure. I don't know if they're going to win or lose, but they're not going to certainly do what they did last week against the Carolina Panthers. It's not going to look like that. By the way, our daily reminder that, you know, sometimes, and all of us have been in this situation where you need cash and you need it like really quickly. Maybe a surprise bill just fell onto your lap and you're wondering, how am I going to find the money to pay for this right now? Maybe the credit cards aren't where they need to be, or the credit isn't where it needs to be, and the credits or cards are maxed out, and you're losing some sleep over how are you going to find that $500 or $5,000 that you need like right now. Well, don't worry, because for over 20 years, the experts at LendingStore.com have helped millions of people who needed cash quickly, and all credit types are welcome. Now credit or cash is as close as your phone and as soon as tomorrow, so when you need it, why wait? Just head over to LendingStore.com, have their experts help you find a lender that can get you that $500 to $5,000 into your bank account as early as tomorrow. Just go to LendingStore.com for all the details.
For 4 years, and I was talking to my colleagues at VSiN who have been here, you know, 20-plus years, JBT, who you guys know well, born and raised in this area. And my question all week has been, when was the last time UNLV was the main topic when it came to college football? But you know, that's the world we're living in with this NIL discussion. I think a lot of this, as you guys, I'm sure, have discussed on your program throughout the week, has been a little bit overblown. I think the national media discussion, to me, has gone spiraled a little bit out of whack here. It's a lot of he said, he said. But as for how this game has changed in the betting market, it was a massive overreaction initially on Wednesday morning. You know, news breaks on Tuesday night. Wednesday morning, I'm taking a look at the betting market, and, you know, DraftKings, which is a shop that we can't bet here in Las Vegas, but that was a shop that went all the way to Fresno State minus 1.5. So you're talking about almost a 5.5-point swing. Now, sharp bettors have gotten in on this thing, and they have moved it back to 2, 2.5, which I think makes sense. There is going to be a little bit of a drop-off from a perceived starter to the backup. But, guys, as soon as this thing came out and was able to bet here in Vegas, I hammered UNLV. I thought this was a massive overreaction. Everything that I've heard from the people that I've talked to, you know, this was a neck and neck race all throughout the summer months. And I'm not here to say that, oh, Matthew Soluka, he stunk and he, you know, good riddance. No, he was a good quarterback. He did some special things with his legs, but the fact of the matter is he wasn't a good passer. And I think Haj Malik Williams will step in and probably run Brennan Marion's offense a little bit more through the way that he would like it to be run. You know, you're looking at Ricky White, a guy that only has 10 catches this year, guys. This is one of the best receivers in the entire country, had over 1,400 yards receiving a year ago. So I think there's a rallying cry. You know, from my understanding, Steve Cofield, a colleague of yours over there, he came on VSiN Primetime, and he told us that the reaction in the locker room when they were told that it was, you know, Haj Malik Williams and Cameron Friel moving forward was very positive. So I think UNLV rallies behind this. I think, you know, a short money line price is still worth a play. Looks like South Point has minus 125. I would play that. I was able to get minus 110 at MGM earlier this week, but I really like the spot for UNLV coming off a bye week. And I think that Barry Odom, you know, if we know anything, he's a pretty good motivator. And I think this is a good motivating spot for UNLV against a big time competitor in Fresno State. I mean, it's believed right now, guys, that it's Boise State, maybe a slight drop-off, UNLV Fresno as the next two best teams in the Mountain West. So what a great opportunity for UNLV to silence all kind of the naysayers and the negativity and go out there on Saturday afternoon at Allegiant and get a win.
It would make for a great story now, wouldn't it?
It really would.
Yeah, and we're all about great stories. All right,
and to be honest, you know, and you guys have probably talked about it because I'm sure that you guys have heard more from the UNLV side where we're located. You know, look, I'm not here to talk negative about, you know, his agent or his family and how they went about this, if they were promised X. Fact of the matter is, all the reporting that's out there, there was no signed agreement anywhere.
Right.
And at the end of the day, like, that's what we have to go on. And look, this is a bigger topic, bigger question, bigger story, because this thing has spun out of control with the NCAA, who said a couple years ago, yeah, do whatever you want, and there's just no regulation, there's no anything. So, you know, that's the bigger topic here. But, you know, as I look at it from an X's and O's standpoint, a point spread standpoint, I think there's a little bit of value on the Rebels come Saturday.
Yep, I agree. Vince is actually all over the Rebels, and I tend to agree with him on that. All right, you know where I'm going, Georgia against Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
Brock Bowers told me in the locker room, come on, man. It's Georgia, right? Georgia's going to win this game. And you know what? What was interesting about what Brock told me was they always follow, typically, a bad performance, and they just barely squeaked by Kentucky, right? Last week, they always follow that with a big performance. I don't know necessarily where to go. Obviously, Brock Bowers' heart is with Georgia. But I like the Alabama quarterback, and I like his ability to make plays, so I'm a little bit conflicted right there on that end. But what do you think about it?
So I'll ask you guys a question. When was the last time Alabama was a home underdog?
Never.
Probably the last time Oklahoma was a home underdog, right?
Dennis Franchione, the head coach?
Nick Saban was the head coach.
Okay.
Whoa.
It was his first year, 2007. 17 years
Jeez.
It has been since Alabama was a home underdog. They actually didn't cover that game. I think they were 6.5-point dogs to LSU. They lost by a touchdown back in 2007. But it's been a minute since Alabama has been a home underdog. And right now at Circa, they're not a home underdog. It's a pick 'em. And that makes sense to me. You know, for me, guys, I know this is lame from the gambling guy. I don't really have a take on either side here. I do think that your point regarding them coming off a poor performance is a good thing for Georgia, and I'm sure Brock Bowers can attest to, you know, anytime they had that lackluster performance, you know, they came out, you know, guns blazing, so to speak, the following week or whatever it was. You got to remember too, you know, not that there needs to be motivation for a Georgia Alabama game. Are you kidding me? But Alabama knocked Georgia out of the playoff last year. You know, they beat them in the SEC championship, and they got left on the side of the road, so to speak. So, God, this game's going to be awesome. I mean, I just think about it this way. You know, not that you should be watching College Game Day. You should be watching the VEASAN College Football tailgate show. But if you were during a commercial break to meander over to ESPN, think about the atmosphere there behind Coach Saban on that set. I mean, everything that – look, I know that, you know, people who don't like college football really wanted to bring out the pitchforks about this Matt Saluka. Do you see, I told you, this is the death of college football. Yeah, look at the ratings on Saturday night. The ratings are going to be through the roof. This game is going to be the most watched game of the year, probably until Ohio State, Michigan. It's going to be phenomenal to see the atmosphere down there. So, like, to your point about Jalen Milroe, I think he's going to use his legs, so I think prop bets on Jalen Milroe certainly could be a way to look. I'll give you the one angle that I did bet heading into this game, and I'm pulling up the app to make sure it's still available at the price that I bet it at. Okay, it is. At Circa right now, Carson Beck's 20-1 to win the Heisman Trophy.
Okay.
And Carson Beck is not as electrifying as Cam Ward or Jalen Milroe or even Jackson Dart. The numbers just aren't there yet. However, let's look at the schedule. At Bama, at Texas, at Ole Miss, Tennessee, and then the SEC Championship. He's going to have just the biggest platform out there. And the fact of the matter is, guys, essentially, I know Jaden Daniels and LSU didn't go to the playoff last year, but the Heisman Trophy has pretty much become the quarterback of the best team in the country. Not every year, Caleb Williams didn't make the playoff, Jaden Daniels didn't make the playoff, Bryce Young, Joe Burrow, Kyler Murray, they made the playoff, Baker Mayfield, you know, Marcus Mariota, etc. Yeah. So I think 20-1 to me was an intriguing sprinkle to take, because if they win this game on the road at Alabama, what are his odds? You know, next week, are they 8-1? Are they 10-1? Are they down to 6-1? I just, that's the way that I would go if you're looking for just more of a long shot angle of this game. So that's the way I bet it, but I can't wait to watch this game. I mean, there's some really, I mean, I know there's four top 25 matchups this week, but I mean, you dig a little bit deeper. Boise State, Washington State's going to be an awesome game late night there on the Smurf turf. I'm excited about UNLV, Fresno State, obviously. This schedule to this weekend is really, really loaded up.
Tim, you just took the words out of my mouth, a quartet of duly ranked matchups. And I was looking at that Boise State-Washington State game. That one looks fascinating to me, not just for the implications for what UNLV is, but just the game itself seems fascinating. The time of the game, that where it's slotted. You know, at the end of the day, despite what happens during the day, you got one at that 7 o'clock hour here in the Pacific. But I want to go where you want to go. What matchup or what game are you salivating over from a betting perspective?
Yeah, I mean, let's hit on Boise State, Washington State real quickly, because what we've seen from Washington State so far, defense is optional, but they have a quarterback that is a lot of fun to watch. Now, he could drive you crazy in John Mateer. If you watch the San Jose State game last Friday night, as he throws an interception when all they have to do is kick a field goal in overtime to get the victory, but he's a dynamic athlete. You could see him rushing for over 100 yards. You know, I was a little surprised early on in the week that we saw some under money hit the market on Boise State, Washington State. I'm not a big over bettor because people love to bet over. So me being a contrarian at heart, I tend to like to bet unders. But I think there's fireworks to be had in this Washington State, Boise State game. And, you know, if you've got your apps ready to rock and roll at 7 o'clock with
always,
a cocktail by you, this is a live betting bonanza. Because to me, this game is going to swing every which way. If a team's down 14, they could eliminate that 14-point deficit in a millisecond, because Washington State, as I alluded to, defense, not so great, but they could score. Boise State, I got questions about their defense, but Ashton Jeanthe, you know, he is an absolute superstar, the running back for Boise State. So, you know, I was happy to see the movement head back over here, as I have some over money. I took a little Washington State plus 8 earlier in this week. There's sevens out there in the betting market, but, you know, I'm really excited about that game for sure. A couple other games. I mentioned UNLV, one of my favorite plays of the week. You know, obviously Notre Dame and Louisville, I think, has got some interesting dynamics to it, where Notre Dame continues to be bet in the market from a sharp standpoint, getting up to a full touchdown. I think Louisville is going to struggle to score here. The way I bet this game was I took a Louisville team total under. I think 20.5s are out there. So look around. Some markets of those don't pop until a little bit later on in the week. But, you know, I think Notre Dame, the strength of their defense, I know, is their secondary. Xavier Watts, All-American. Benjamin Morrison, maybe top 10 pick in the upcoming NFL draft. Christian Gray dealt with a little bit of an injury last week against Miami of Ohio, but he should be full go. And Tyler Shuck, the transfer from Texas Tech, who started his career at Oregon, you know, he hasn't thrown an interception so far this year, but I just think that this Louisville team is going to struggle to have sustained drives against Notre Dame, and I'm curious if the Irish can get it going from an offensive standpoint. So lean full game under, but I actually would try to find a team total under there on Louisville. And then the last one that I think is just going to be really interesting to watch, guys, is, you know, Colorado after their win last week. Now you've kind of got it back, right? It felt like the Coach Prime effect had subsided a little bit after they lost in the fashion that they did against Nebraska. But this game at UCF is going to be an absolute madhouse. It is called the Bounce House for a reason. It's going to be hot. It's going to be humid. You know, 3:30 Eastern kickoff down there in Orlando. UCF coming off a bye. Yeah. This team loves to run the football. RJ Harvey is going to run it down their throat. And we'll see if Colorado can get a backdoor cover here. I think this is a really tricky spot for Colorado, coming off of the emotional victory of a week ago, storming the field, forcing overtime on the Hail Mary. I mean, by the way, quick side note, what a freaking throw from Shador Sanders against his body, just flick of the wrist into the end zone. But I think this is a tricky spot for Colorado. But they're catching 14 here. So, you know, I think the public is going to load up on Colorado thinking that's too many points. I would be careful. I think UCF is going to be primed and ready to go to put up a big performance there on national television tomorrow afternoon.
It's awesome stuff. Tim Murray catches show tomorrow, the Tailgate Show on VSiN, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And, of course, the College Football Betting Podcast up on VSiN. It's amazing stuff. It's your primer. Your homework is done for you. Tim Murray goes around the country, and nobody gives you better info. Thanks again for coming on today, Tim. We look forward to talking again next week.
We'll go right from the studio to the soccer pitch, Vince.
That's right. Let's go. Yeah. That's the game of the week.
Vince is sweating the soccer game. What's the odds on that one?
I don't know. This is the first game of the season.
Yeah, it might be minus 1.5.
Off the board.
Thanks, Tim. Guys. All right. That's Tim Murray. Follow him on X at One Tim Murray. Yeah, I love that that explanation about that. The game for UCF to kind of like hold court at home against Colorado. Everything kind of goes their way if they can run the ball, and the humidity and all that stuff, it transfers into, like, you know, it's a double-digit favorite kind of rolled out for Colorado as an advantage. But take a look at that dog.
I love me some Shador Sanders. We were talking about this. I'm obviously missing something on Shador. I know he hasn't said all the right things. They're kids. They're not always gonna handle things correctly. I would ask some of my Twitter followers, if I put a microphone in your face and asked you a bunch of questions, are you gonna answer them all correctly? And a lot of you guys are 40, 50 years old. Are you going to be all articulate and say the right thing and the perfect thing all the time? Sometimes you got to put yourself in a kid's shoe. So I don't understand all the anger toward him, as if it's some circus. People on Twitter are making it seem like, at least my followers, that every time you pick up a paper or turn on the TV, Shador is saying something crazy or controversial. Am I missing something, you guys?
I don't know. Sometimes when you're on TV, even as a child, you know, as Dion had the reality show for a couple of years, it's like it's hard. People take a perception and they go way too far with it.
This is a good young quarterback that the Raiders would be very happy to have, as would a bunch of teams. He's going to be a first round pick, probably a top 10 pick. And considering where the Raiders have been at quarterback, you're going to be worried about things that haven't even manifested themselves. And I don't believe for a second that Deion's going to be a problem. Deion knows what this is all about, and especially if there's respect between he and Antonio Pierce and the organization, he's done his job to that point, being the dad to Shador. Right. Now it's time for him to be his adult, mm-hmm. be the adult that he is. Deion has enough on his hands to worry about Colorado or wherever he might coach next year, Florida State, who knows. But I wouldn't even worry about that. He's got that in perspective. And whatever immaturity anyone's talking about with Shador, it's just very minor little stuff that he probably shouldn't have said that. But, you know, the offensive line stuff, he threw his offensive line under the bus. They were with him and behind him at the press conference after the Colorado State game in complete unison with their quarterback. So I don't get it, Vince.
Fans going to be fans.
I know
fans
that.
Fans are going to be fans.
I know, but I'm looking for proof of what they're talking about.
But I would say that's a problem
so
that
you're
none. Going to have
There's none.
Moving forward, because there is none.
Okay, thank you. And that's what I've been trying to get to the bottom of. Like, what am I missing?
People are going to sit there and look at Shador, and they're just going to see and hear Deion. Some people don't like Deion.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's right. I'm not saying that's wrong. That's just what it is. They see Deion throwing media members out on ESPN. That's become Shador's problem. Right, wrong, or indifferent.
Wrong.
That is
it's not right. It's wrong. I know.
We all
but
agree.
I'm interjecting.
But if the fans sit there and they took the name off his back and took the jersey out and just put a blank and evaluated the player on how he looks, they'd be like, man, that dude can spin it.
Absolutely.
And he continues to do so. And so that would be a great problem to have for the Raiders if that were to be the case. We are wrapping up hour number three here on the Morning Tailgate. When we return, it's the final sit down.
I want to sit down. This morning,
got yourself a gun. The Morning Tailgate.
We have a new Paisan. Oh!
Vince Sapienza.
That's right, we do. Vinny
Bonsignor.
It's a stereotype, and it's offensive.
Clay Baker.
I'm German-Irish.
Oh! Oh! Oh!
Back up.
On Raider Nation Radio.
I want
to
sit down.
It's sit down time. Hour number three, Morning Tailgate. Favorite part of everybody's day, the final sit down. The moment for the final thoughts ahead of the weekend. All eyes on Las Vegas, I'll tell you that. Whether it's Saturday or Sunday,
no doubt.
All eyes on Las Vegas, the football capital of the world this weekend resides. Here in the Valley.
For weird reasons, too.
Very, very different reasons.
Do you think what happened in the UNLV situation is the tip of the iceberg for those types of situations to occur across the country? Or is it a step closer to getting to where we all feel like this needs to be
I would say we're
uniform?
A step closer to getting where it needs to be, just for the simple fact, I think, every kid and agent that has an NIL collective or anything is now double checking that their I's are dotted and T's are crossed in terms of something signed and in writing in terms of that, so that we don't have situations further moving forward.
Well, what about this, though? What about, all right, I've outplayed what we agreed on, and now it's time to, are you going to have holdouts?
I'm not there yet.
We already have one.
Is that the direction?
Could it happen?
Yeah, but I don't think.
Clay? I think we're going to have some holdouts.
Yeah, there's too many players to where the situation's not going to happen and more stories will get thrown out there.
So we need the uniformity, right?
Clay, will you just step up and fix everything, please?
Thank you. Collective bargaining agreements.
Clay,
can't wait for those days to start.
Clay's in charge now.
For Vince, for Vinny, I'm Clay. Have a great day, everybody. Rich Eisen is next. And keep a hold on JT the Brick from 12 to 2.